Superstition podcast may contain adult themes, sexual discussions, and strong language. We want everyone to be educated, but we are intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. On today's episode, we're talking to Ashley Manta, sex educator and cannabis expert. You guys want to hear a joke?
Yes.
Always.
Okay, what do you call a horny stoner?
What do you call a horny stoner? Oh God, I really want to think.
What? A weed whacker. And now, with love from Huntington Beach, your host, Ashley Weller.
Welcome, fellow humans, to a full frontal episode of What's Your Position podcast. Today, we're talking about alternative medicines and sex. I was trying to think of it because I was like, are you just talking about weed? Are we talking about psychedelics? Are we talking about both? So we're going to talk about alternative medicines and sexuality. With us, we have award-winning sex educator, sought-after authority on mindfully combining sex and cannabis, the owner of Canna Sexual Brand, author of Mary Jane, The CBD Solution, Sex, How Cannabis, CBD, and Other Plant Allies Can Improve Your Everyday Life, a writer for Dope Magazine, a publisher of over 150 articles, a presenter at South by Southwest, ASEC, and Sexual Freedom Summits, and a one-time star on Viceland's Slut Ever for the freaking Stone Sex episode. Jesus Christ, that's one of my favorite fucking shows.
So freaking good.
And gentlemen, We have Ashley Manta with us today. Thank you so fucking much for being here. We are absolutely thrilled to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to tell you a little bit about how we found you. So yes. I'm going to turn the mic over to husband Kevin Weller.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were going to put me on the spot. Well, I find most of my guests or our guests, it's through Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was just flipping through and I don't remember if it was on another podcast or whatnot. I just came to your page, but flipped it to Ashley and there we go.
Yeah. He sent me this link to you and you were on, I think, Double Team podcast.
I was on Double Teamed.
There you go. I see a lot of theirs.
We're actually going to have them on the podcast next weekend.
I love Nikki and Cammie. They're so lovely.
I'm so excited. They're going to come to our house and do a live episode with us. And he sent me a little clip that you did on their episode and he's like, reach out, see what she says. And I was like, there's no way she's going to fucking say yes. There's no way. Within like 30 minutes, you were like, yep, let's fucking have a chat. What do you want to talk about?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we were all jacked. We're like, oh, this is
fuck great. Yeah.
Babe, she responded.
I was super stoked. Tell me a little bit about you. Tell me about how you became involved in sex education. I know that that really started for you in the early 2000s, 2007, you started doing sex education. Mm-hmm. What was your main driving force into getting involved with that?
So I am a nerd and I like to intellectualize my feelings. So being someone who has a trauma history, specifically a sexual trauma history, when I got to college and I had the opportunity to take rape crisis counseling certification trainings and domestic violence crisis counseling certification trainings, I was like, yes, I should do that. I want to learn more about trauma. I want to understand what's happening in my brain and body. I want to do all the things. So I took those. I took psychology classes, sociology classes, nursing, women's studies. I just nerded out.
Nursed yourself in every possible aspect. Yeah.
Exactly. And my undergraduate papers focused on acquaintance rape. My graduate school papers focused on acquaintance. I was just in it. I did all the research.
Honed it.
So, because obviously you can research your way out of feeling things. That's super effective.
So many papers and completely and heal
all your trauma. That's not
exactly
how that works.
That's not how that
works. But I hadn't figured that out yet. So in grad school, I started working at a local sex shop, which was kind of my fun job. And then I also worked at a local crisis center doing rape crisis hotline work. I would go to the ER with victims. I would go to court with them. And I started speaking at high schools and colleges about bystander intervention and stranger danger. And I was doing K through 12, early sex education, like sexual violence prevention, wow, education kind of stuff. And like, that was my whole career from, you know, 2008 until about 2011. The last thing I did in that area of the field was working as a victim advocate at the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, where all of the victims that I worked with were juvenile victims of adult offenders, which was,
that
you know,
intense, man.
Brutal. And I had 20 cases a day, and I was in court almost every day of the week.
Oh, my God.
A lot. So I'm like, okay, this one, I am not getting paid enough for this. I was making like $33,000 a year.
There's no, you can't.
And two, this is not sustainable for my mental health, because I'm like sitting in court getting flashbacks. So I'm like, all right, can't do that. That's not what I want to do with my life. So I left there. I worked at Planned Parenthood for a year as a reproductive health center assistant. I held people's hands while they got IUDs inserted. I ran labs. I drew blood. I counseled patients on STIs and birth control options. I was a handholder for a couple abortions. Like, that was all really, really important work. I loved that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Planned Parenthood is underfunded. And so the health center that I was working at got shut down in 2013.
Official sponsor, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, yeah. Please donate to Planned Parenthood. God knows they need it, especially in this post-Roe v. Wade world we live in.
Yeah.
I feel like
I want to start calling it the Handmaid's, like,
for reals.
Like, I'm really ready to begin saying under his eye to a lot of people. But
right. For reals. So that was kind of my impetus to move to California, because I was dating someone at the time. He had just gotten laid off. I was living in Pennsylvania. I'd lived there my whole life. And he's like, we could live anywhere. Where do you want to live? And I'm like, Southern California, definitely. Can we go there? And he's like, yeah, we can go there. So we did.
Yeah, we can go there.
And that was my first time having access to medical cannabis, because in Pennsylvania, you just buy drugs from a dealer, at least at the time you did. Like, you know, you go and you're like, do you have any salad? And they're like, sure. And they pull something out of like a cigarette thing in a fucking plastic baggie. Yeah. That devil's lettuce.
Give me my drums.
For real. So moving here to California, having access to medical cannabis, really being able to fully appreciate how much of an impact on my life the plant was having. Like, I was able to control some of the panic attacks, some of my mood stuff. I'd had pain with penetration my whole life. I used this THC infused oil on my pussy for the first time. I had penetrative sex without pain. Wow. And that was when my head blew up and I'm like, oh fuck, I don't know any sex educators that are talking about sex and cannabis.
No, you found it. You found
that niche.
That became my thing.
Hell yeah. Wow. That's fucking crazy. So in 2013 is when you moved to Los Angeles and you started working full time as a professional, like, sex educator. But you also worked as a phone sex operator.
I worked as a phone sex operator first, because that was like the easiest way to make money quickly. Like, to be a sex educator, you have to kind of have a network and know where to go to get paid to teach about sex ed.
But I just kind of want to like remind everyone how quickly the digital age moves. Like, you worked as someone has to call you on the phone, not on a landline, not only
a 1-900 number,
a 1-900 number where you'd answer the phone. Can you give me, if I were to call, I'm going to call you. Hello.
Hey, baby, what are you wearing?
Oh, wow.
I'm wearing jeans and a white t-shirt. What are you wearing?
Oh, baby, you know, I'm just lying here in my sexiest red lingerie, and I would love it if you would take those jeans off for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
No, that's fucking. Yeah.
And on the spot, not even queued up. No, just boom.
On the spot.
That's impressive.
It was like a crash course in dirty talk. It was dirty talk improv on demand for a whole year.
Is there like a script in front of you? Like, if they say this, you say that, or it's just like, hey,
you just make that shit up.
Oh my gosh. Did you make up like personalities or personas?
Oh yes.
Oh hell yeah.
Because you might as well have fun with it. Right.
Accents too.
I'm not great at accents, but I sort of did my best. Like, I could do a slightly passable British accent almost.
Hell,
I could
kind
of work a Southern accent a little bit, but like, it was bad. Anyone who actually does accents would be like, maybe you shouldn't do that.
Like, maybe go back to just your voice.
Your voice is fine. Just stick with that.
That number, don't give a shit.
No.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Like, right? Just do what I want you to do. And I don't care
how it's going to work. As as a sex educator, you have a website, you have a brand called Canna Sexual. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you developed it and what people can find when they visit your website?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2013, 2014, I was geeking out pretty hard about like internet marketing and brand building. And so when I figured out that sex and cannabis was going to be my thing, I was like, I should probably call it something. Like, what do I want to, how do I want to be referred to? What should I say? And so I put up a poll on Facebook because I was still using Facebook back then. And I was like, do you guys like
moving as quickly as possible?
Canna cunt, canna bliss, canna
cunt would be going off right now.
I know, right?
You could do a little limited edition canna cunt. Canna cunt.
But everybody liked canna sexual. And so I bought the domain. And I, like 2 years later, got it trademarked. And I, like, for having no business training experience or otherwise, like, I have guessed a lot of really smart moves over the years.
Intuition.
Intuition, we'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take intuition for sure. On your Canna website, Canna Sexual website, you offer some classes. You're a sexual wellness coach. You offer coaching sessions. You offer classes. But one of the things that you offer are tips on hand jobs. So for my tip of the day, I'm actually not going to be the one that gives it to you, listener. You're going to get your tip from Ashley Manta. Can you please give us 3 ways to make your next hand job an erotic massage?
Absolutely, I can. All right. Tip number one. This is crucial. You must use lube. Non-negotiable.
Not using lube?
Like, you know what? I have seen way too many people use either nothing or spit, and like painfully obvious, literally. But like, no.
If the guy's not circumcised.
If the guy's not circumcised, it's a little bit easier to not use lube, but I still like to use lube anyway. One of my lovers isn't circumcised, and I love his dick for that and many other reasons, but like...
Record scratch, one of your lovers?
Oh yeah, I have several.
That is a fantastic answer.
That needs to be on a t-shirt.
Lovers? Oh yeah, I have
several.
So like a mug.
Lube. Lube is tip number one. Tip number two is use both hands.
Okay.
And that necessitates a specific position, which is tip number 3.
Ooh.
You have the recipient lying on their back. You sit between their legs with their legs on top of your legs. So your legs kind of make like a diamond shape. If they were sitting up, you'd be sitting yab yum if you're a tantra person. Okay. But they're reclining, you're sitting upright. And so that you have both hands available, you can go up the inner thigh, around, behind, everywhere, watch their eyes, make eye contact, see their chest rise and fall. That I call the position reclining diamond. And it's a game changer.
My God, that's a sexy fucking position.
As the only male in the room, I would definitely endorse what she just explained, because that sounds
12 out of 10 would
recommend. Yeah, would recommend that. That sounds great.
Thank you for taking over my job for that portion and giving our listeners the tip of the day. I very much appreciate you.
My pleasure.
We're going to dive right in and start talking about cannabis and sex. So I want to talk about both the positives and the negatives. I like to look at both sides of all the coins. And obviously, when you're talking about using a mind-altering substance in order to engage in sexual activity, whether you're ingesting it or you are using it topically, really want to make sure everybody in the room has consent. We want to make sure everybody in the room is aware of that. We want to make sure that there's no other substances that could possibly cause any sort of increase or enhancement or derailment of your good time. So really being mindful of what other substances you're putting in your body and knowing your limits. So please don't try weed for the first time and then have sex on weed the first time you have the first time you use weed. Like, please, if you're baby steps, right? Like, try to figure out what your limits are. Try to understand where your boundaries lie when it comes to marijuana. I am a cannabis user, proud and out and loud, and have been for quite a while. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and they wanted to, at a young age, like stupid young, like 28 years old. And they were like, hey, we've got all these drugs that we can put you on. And I was like, hey, you can go get fucked. I'm not going to take opiates for the rest of my life. And I'm not going to take an antidepressant because I'm not depressed. So I looked into alternative therapies, and marijuana, cannabis, CBD, THC, CBN, all of those are super helpful. I also have insomnia, and I also have anxiety. And so all of those are super helped by different strains of marijuana. And on your website, you actually give people this questionnaire that helps them figure out which strains are the best for them. Yes. I would highly recommend that if you want to try cannabis for sex and you are somebody who is already in the cannabis world, and you want to know what strains are good for sex, please go take Ashley's quiz and get her opinion on that. Because I think that there's different types of THC in marijuana. Different levels of cannabis that mm-hmm. can alter your sensations.
You don't want to actually accidentally smoke something that'll just glue you to the couch when you're trying to have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. And the purpose of that tracking template is so that you can figure it out, because a mistake I made early in my cannabis career was recommending strains. Oh, try this. I really liked this. This, because this works for that. The thing is, what works great for me may not work for you at all, or your partner or your friend or whoever. Like, so the problem becomes, I'm the expert. So if I tell you that something's going to work for you and it doesn't, you assume that you're broken and not that I'm wrong. Right. And I don't want to put anyone in that position. So I've become much more of an advocate for fact finding and doing a lot of research. So like you said, don't try cannabis for the first time when you're going to have sex with your partner. Do it on your own. Masturbate. See how you feel. See how it works. Write it down, because we can't remember shit when we're high. and then go back through your notes later.
Facts. It's fantastic. Have you ever had sex high?
Yes.
Like stoned, like mentally stoned. Like not using a topical thing.
No, like I was stoned. Like I smoked before.
Has it, like, more than once?
Yeah.
Is it something you enjoy?
Yes. Very much so.
Does it do for you?
I feel like it kind of shuts my brain off, because I sometimes get too in my head.
Yeah.
When I'm having sex and thinking about like how I look, or, you know, what his perspective of me currently looks like. And I'm like, I look so. And so when I'm stoned, I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking about how good I feel.
Yeah.
Like, then I can like kind of be more present and enjoy the experience overall more.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
Can I just make a comment on that?
Oh, yeah.
No guys in the history of this world has looked down at a girl while he's having sex with her and thought anything that a girl is probably thinking that he's looking at.
Right. Right.
Like, it's always just like fucking, you know, just euphoria going through the guy's mind at the moment. He's not looking at her and being like, oh my God, I hate her hair. It doesn't look good.
Oh my God, what kind of face is that? Why is she making that face right now? Why?
Right. Like, the more fucked up the face, the better, because you're like, yeah, I'm doing something that. Right.
I'm doing
something right. So just for any of the females out there, we're not judging. We're not looking. We're not.
I mean, I love you. I love you so much. I still don't believe you. Have you had sex high?
Oh yeah, of course.
Like stoned?
Very.
Did you do it on purpose, or were you stoned and then you were like, sex sounds like a good idea? Or were you like, I'm consciously going to get stoned and then go bang?
Yeah, There's definitely
been a few times where I've smoked too and I've been like, I'm horny now.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have and I've been like, I don't really like it. But then there's other times that, yeah, it's the same thing where, like, you know, it just depends on your mental state. You know, sometimes you get too stoned and you're like, whoa, this is too much stimulation.
Been there too.
This is too much. But I definitely smoked and been like looked around and be like, damn, all right, let's see if we can get this going tonight.
Go.
Yeah.
I feel tingly.
Definitely.
I definitely had sex high on purpose and on accident. And did not enjoy it as much as I enjoy topical CBD, like tinctures.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I can't focus usually when I'm high, like unless I, and I'm not focused on myself. I'm typically focused on like everything else, or like I go into what I call thought holes when I get high, where like the thought leads to the thought, which leads to the thought, which leads to the thought. And I just
like Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I just let them happen. And I'm just sometimes think of really cool shit that I write down. And sometimes 2 seconds after I have a thought, I was like, wait, what was that thought? So I have a hard time being stoned and having sex, but I have found topicals to be incredible in increasing blood flow and increasing like sensitivity and yes. then increasing orgasm, as well as making it more likely that I will have a female ejaculation squirt mm-hmm. than if I don't use the CBD topical. You love a specific one so much. What is it?
So there's a couple brands that I really like. One is a company called Quimrock. It's a woman owned company. You can also like take any tincture that you buy at a dispensary, like any oil exclusive tincture, not like flavored or anything else, but just as long as it's just oil, you can use that as a topical. But my latest obsession has been a company in California called Hello Again. Ooh, and they make suppositories in various ratios.
Yes. Vaginal suppositories. I want to make sure that
vaginal suppositories.
What?
You can use them anally also.
What about the desensitization? Is there any sort
of... It doesn't desensitize at all. If anything, it enhances sensation while helping to relax the muscles so that you're more comfortable.
Okay, that's fantastic. Because there is some concern with people who use, which is one of the negatives I was going to say. There's some people who say that using maybe any sort of like CBD that's used for like pain relief, like I have one for my knee, that it could actually numb the area and make anal sex more dangerous.
No, that's an adorable concern, but it is not actually based in fact.
Fantastic. Oh my God, I love
fucking great news.
Great news, everybody.
Good news, everybody.
Good news. No, not to worry. No, cannabis does not numb you at all. If other things are in it, like lidocaine, benzocaine, those types of things, that will numb you. But cannabis absolutely does not numb you.
That's incredible. Okay, so cannabis has a long history in the bedroom, by the way, as an aid. Hindus believed that cannabis-infused drinks used to be an aphrodisiac. Egyptian women applied cannabis-infused honey onto their sex organs to cool the uterus. Ashley, what do you think about how taboo and like out like in the bedroom, like hidden cannabis has become with sex, and how can we help get more individuals on board with maybe topicals or also edibles or smoking cannabis and enhancing their sex life?
Well, I think two things really came into play that impacted cannabis becoming less popular and more stigmatized in the bedroom. One, of course, was the very racially motivated war on drugs.
Yeah.
Where like all drugs are bad. People who use drugs are bad. Mostly people who use drugs are black and brown people. So they're bad. And like, let's put them all in jail. That was sort of the US government's like MO from about, you know, the early 1900s until, you know, pretty much now.
Yesterday.
Unfortunately, there are still people, as we hear, sit here today in 2024, sitting in jail for possession of cannabis, which is bananas.
Right.
Absolutely asinine.
Like, so, you know, vote, write your representatives, tell them this is bullshit. So that was a piece of it. And the other piece is, you know, we live in a country that was founded by prudes. So like, right? Like, everyone is shut down about sex. Everyone has shame. There's so much repression and guilt and from whether it's cultural, religious, geographical, like it's just so ingrained in us, like very heteronormative, very like sex is for procreation. I got abstinence only sex education. I'm only 37. And like, they, you know, these Christian kids came in and were like, you're worth waiting for. And I was like, too late.
Okay. I got told I was a flower. And every time you had sex,
plucked your petals.
And then by the time it got to your husband, you were a dead stem, and nobody wants a dead stem.
Right. And it's always so like horrifying to me. Jessica Valenti writes a lot about this in her book, The Purity Myth. But like, it's always like that for women. But yeah, men are supposed to sow their wild oats. And like, that's fine. You're not supposed to be pure and chaste for your spouse if you have a penis.
Fair. Did you ever get that message, husband, that you had to be pure, that you had to wait until marriage? Was that something that was for lack of a
definitely better? Not for my parents, though.
Well, duh. Your parents are adorable and amazing.
I mean, just in general, like, it was like, you know, if a guy has sex with a bunch of girls, he's cool.
Yeah.
And he gets a high five, a pat on the back, and status, you know, but the opposite for the, you know, for a woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was better to like have sex with a girl who hadn't had sex with a lot of people. Like,
right.
That was,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't fucking understand it. I mean, I don't. It's
purity culture rooted in, you know, misogyny and patriarchy.
Disgusting. Absolutely terrible. Tell us some of your favorite benefits of cannabis and sex. What do you love to tell people about how good it is for your sex life?
So what I like to tell people is that cannabis can help address the things that get in the way of pleasure, connection, and intimacy. Typical things include being stuck in your head and disconnected from your body. Yep. It can help kind of quiet those voices down and get you more present. It can enhance sensation. So if you, like so many of us, struggle to even feel your body at any given time of day.
Especially trauma survivors.
It can help you start to actually have sensation in your body again that you can discern. It definitely helps with pain, whether it's like systemic pain or more localized pain. So that's why I started using the suppositories and the THC infused oils, because it did make a difference. Without numbing, it just helped the tissue and the nerves relax so that instead of like clenching, they just it allowed me to relax with it. So I think those things make a huge difference. And like with anything, your relationship with the plant is going to change over time. What you needed 2 years ago may not be what you need today. And especially for people who menstruate, like as they go into perimenopause and hormones shift, like things change and what you need changes. So you should always be continually reevaluating your relationship with the plant and how it works for you.
So a German researcher actually discovered that when we orgasm, our bodies release endocannabinoids into our bloodstream and into our brains and the blood-brain barrier and all that good shit. So we ought, as human beings, just for anyone who doesn't fucking know this, as humans, we have cannabinoid receptors in our brains. So our brains, just like a dopamine receptor, a serotonin receptor, they're seeking out specific activity. And cannabis used to, before it was made illegal, used to be used regularly. People would just grow it in their backyards and just have it as a plant, put it in
tea. Called weed for a reason.
A weed. It fucking grows in the backyard.
Like a weed.
It's a fucking crazy plant. And this may have not everything to do with the making cannabis a Schedule I drug, but there is a lot of evidence that shows ADHD, anxiety, and neurodivergent disorders actually rose after marijuana was made illegal. And a lot of individuals think that because it was introduced into households and it was used as teas and it was used as tinctures, that those issues were being addressed by activating the cannabinoid receptor in the brain on a regular basis on a microdosing level. And when we made it illegal, we took that away from people and thereby increased these disorders. I'm also wondering if there may have been, had we even done this, which we never would have, but if we would have done sex research back then, I wonder if we would have seen more pain disorders in individuals during sex, more anorgasmia, more difficulty reaching orgasm, because I have a very interesting and mind-blowing stat of the day. There was a study that I'm sure you are extremely familiar with, Ashley, done by the University of British Columbia. Now, this wasn't a large study. It was 202 participants. However, 202 participants responded to how cannabis made them feel during multiple sexual encounters. 60% of them said it increased their desire. 74% reported increased sexual satisfaction. 74% reported an increased sensitivity to touch. What percentage reported an increase in the intensity of their orgasm?
Okay.
So now how we play this is everyone goes and guesses and Mia writes it down. And then we give the statistic at the end of the episode. So we make everybody wait to the end.
Yay. Nice.
Like a treat. So of these individuals, how many reported an increased intensity to orgasm? Mia?
I'm going to say 88%.
And we play Price is Right rules. So closest without going over, by the way.
Okay. She's shooting high. So I was going to say, well, actually, my guess was, but I'll say 75%.
75%. Okay. Ashley?
I'm going to say 92%.
92%.
Okay. Ooh.
FYI, 69% said they relaxed more and 50% said they were better able to focus on the sex itself. Also, a couple of other studies that have been done on the benefits of cannabis and sex. One by the St. Louis University said that of 373 women visiting a gynecologist for routine care were asked if they used cannabis during sex, and a third of them said that they did. Compared to those who abstained from marijuana use or used it infrequently, less than three times a year, the ones who reported regular cannabis use also reported more deep and satisfying orgasms. Huh. Can you speak to this idea that by ingesting cannabis or by using cannabis topically, we can actually help the orgasm gap that is so vast and so wide in the world right now?
Well, I think there's a couple of different ways you can approach this. One is, like you said, there is an endocannabinoid system in our bodies, much like a skeletal system and a circulatory system, that can be filled, like have the appropriate amount of cannabinoids, or it can be deficient in cannabinoids. And a deficiency, like any other kind of deficiency in your body, can have side effects. So when those are met, the purpose of the endocannabinoid system is to keep our body in homeostasis. That is right. its sole purpose. So when you're in homeostasis, when you're consuming cannabis, you are more likely to be able to access pleasure, turn on, arousal, orgasm. So that makes sense to me. Also, I tend to think that people who consume cannabis tend to be a little bit more on the holistic, self-aware, personal development side. And that's my own just projection. And so it would make sense to me that they would be more satisfied in their sex lives than someone who maybe stays in a very small, tight, rigid box.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Have you worked with people who have reported having more orgasms after using cannabis?
I have. I absolutely have. There's actually an amazing company called Lioness, and they make a vibrator that measures pelvic floor contractions. So you can actually track your orgasms.
That's so cool.
During masturbation. And they partnered with a company called Ease. I actually wrote about this in my book. They partnered with a company called Ease, and they tested edibles, topicals, and smoke and vaping. I'm sorry. And how it impacted orgasm. And they got to see, like, with data, like this was masturbating without use of cannabis products. This is masturbating with the use of cannabis products. And the orgasms were stronger, longer, more multi-orgasmic. Like, yep.
Wetter.
It happens. Wetter.
Wow.
That is absolutely fuck. I fucking love that. I love science. Yeah. I love data. I have a hard on for statistics. I can't fucking help it. It's so amazing. Okay. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to dive into the world of psychedelics and sex. Think ecstasy, think LSD, think psilocybin, think ketamine. We're going to talk all things psychedelics and sexiness when we return. Join us. As you want to scream with you. Is your bedroom getting boring? Does your sex life feel stale?
or are you just looking for a fun date night activity? Aria has got you covered. Aria's carefully cultivated, choose-your-own-adventure box is like no subscription service you have ever encountered. You and your partner fill out a sexy questionnaire to help the intimacy experts tailor your boxes to your comfortability, range of sexual likes and dislikes, and create specialized scenes for both of you to enjoy. Each box is hand-curated with high-quality items to enhance your sexy scene and includes Spotify playlists, provides ideas for starting the scene, and encourages you to have boundaries, safe words, and aftercare. And throughout the process, your personal concierge will text you, email you, and get you excited for your sexy night in. Whether you're looking to increase your kink or just become closer to your partner, Aria has a scene for you. Visit aria.fyi.com and use our code WYP15 at checkout for 15% off your first 3 months and try on a new side of your sensual self. That's WYP15. Aria, your playful mentor for all things sexy.
Fellow humans to What's Your Position podcast. We are joined by Ashley Manta, and we are talking about a phrase that I'm actually very excited to talk about, altered states of consciousness and sex, to which Ashley just gave a keynote speech at Hedonism in Jamaica. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a Sexual Health and Wellness Week takeover at Hedonism from January 6th to the 13th, which was organized by the folks at Naughty Gym, and it was called Be Better at Being Bad Week. Oh, and they brought...
So cute. Oh my God.
It was incredible. They brought in experts from literally all over the world. We had facilitators from Australia, from Canada, from the US. There were attendees from Iceland and Switzerland. It was wild. And
how many people would you say attended?
They sold over 200 rooms. So that's easily 400 people. Plus whoever else was booked for the resort that week. Yeah. So I would say close to 500. It was a lot. Oh, yeah.
A lot of seminars, a lot of conferences, or was there any like sexy time?
Oh no, there was mostly sexy time with seminars sprinkled in. There were like two seminars a day and a keynote. And then the rest of the time was, you know, whatever bliss and pleasure you
orgies,
decided to.
BDSM.
Not as many orgies as I expected, honestly.
Damn it, just the Ashley? Ripping and the tearing.
It's okay. It was actually quite lovely. Lots of clothing optional. In fact, there were parts of the resort that you are not allowed to wear clothes, which
wow.
is really cool.
And
there was lots of sex happening in the nude pool, but it's largely a swinger resort.
Oh yeah.
Right.
So you saw a lot of people either like in dyads, whether they were playing with their couples or they switched with another couple, but yeah. you didn't see as many like puppy pile style orgies as I think I kind of expected.
That term
puppy
before.
Pile style. Say that five
puppy
times.
Puppy pile style.
I think I'm going to make a shirt.
We've got a lot of t-shirt ideas coming out this episode.
We do this all the time.
We never do it.
It's terrible. So psychedelics are right now very, I'm going to say a phrase, psychedelics are so hot right now. Like,
very
they
in.
Are. They are.
Super trendy. Yes.
Actually, Mia and I work in clinical research for mental health. And so we are seeing a lot of psilocybin trials for PTSD. We are seeing psilocybin trials for people with treatment-resistant depression, anxiety, and trauma. Mm-hmm. It is a very big focus on getting more research on how this medication can be used to treat.
It's so freaking cool, man.
Yeah, a lot. We actually did, our site did MDMA on veterans. And saw excellent results from helping them heal and just kind of rewire those neural pathways. Our brain is plastic. I've said this before. We can rewire our brain. It just takes some practice. And sometimes it just takes a little punch from something on the outside, whether that be yeah. Zoloft or in some MDMA. Cases, microdosing MDMA in the presence of a clinician. I definitely want to make sure that everyone understands. Again, I'm not advocating for you to go out and just do any of this shit. This is just another kind of avenue that you could look into on your own and see if it's something that is beneficial for you. But remember, if you do suffer from any mental health issues, taking any sort of mind-altering substance can lead you down a path of having a bad trip, and you never, ever, ever want to do that. So making sure that you have boundaries and safe words and consent in place before you start playing sexually and using mind-altering substances is going to be super helpful and beneficial for everyone involved. I would like to say that we might be in the middle of a psychedelic renaissance. Ashley, what do you think?
I think we are in the middle of a psychedelic remembering.
Oh.
Right from the 60s and the 70s.
Well, even beyond that, Indigenous people have been using psychedelics for centuries. Okay. You know, this is not a new concept. And then white people sort of, as we do, like came in, planted our flag, and like, we came up with a new thing. And it's like, no. Indigenous folks literally sent thousands of years. They have been using these medicines for healing, for spiritual awakening, for all of these different things. And then, you know, Timothy Leary kind of pops up and he's like, acid though.
Oh my God.
Also, guys, look what I can do. Right?
So, you know, I think it's always important to keep in mind, especially for things like mushrooms, peyote, the more plant-based ayahuasca for sure.
And there's so many retreats right now that you can go on and engage in peyote, ayahuasca retreats, where you're actually going to the indigenous people themselves, and they are administering this with the help of their shaman or of their medicine person. But these medicines are really coming to light. The FDA actually just for the first time recognized that marijuana has medicinal properties like a week ago.
Yep.
And that's huge because marijuana is listed as a class one drug.
Well, and
a schedule one drug, which is like
a week ago, and this is coming out. Right. We're recording this in January.
So in January of 2024, the FDA finally recognized cannabis as a health benefit. Right.
Right.
So,
and you couldn't even study. You couldn't even study marijuana.
I know. Even the study that we currently have, like, it is so difficult for any kind of data to be input into that study. Yeah. Like, it takes so much effort just because of all of the freaking hurdles that you have to jump over.
And so, And if anybody ever wonders, I mean, you know, from the federal level, if you were a company that wanted to study marijuana, you couldn't do any of it because you could get in trouble for it.
Yeah. So most of our research on sexual benefits of psychedelics and of alternative medicines are anecdotal, which doesn't really help a whole lot of people. Because like so many people have said to me, MDMA sex is the best sex. And I gotta tell you, every time I've taken Molly, I've taken Molly a few times. Every time I've taken it, absolutely the last thing on my mind. Like, everything is a great idea and everything feels really good, but the idea of exerting that much energy is not a good idea for me. I think I would overheat as a human being. So like all this anecdotal evidence of, MDMA, be on Molly, have sex, all your senses are heightened, everything. I'm just like,
But it's like back to Ashley, like what you said, Ashley Manta that we have. It's about like finding your right strain, finding your right thing. Like it's going to be forever.
So hard to do without research.
I'm 50-50 on that. Like for MDMA, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, let's do this. This sounds rad. And other times I'm like, no, I'm just going to lay on the couch. Do absolutely nothing.
Take a nap.
This
right
is what
here.
I want to do. Take a nap right here.
I sleep right here.
What psychedelic do you feel like has the most benefits sexually?
That's It's tough to say because it really, I wouldn't want to quantify it as most benefits. They just they all have different benefits.
Then break it down for us, Mrs. Manta.
So MDMA, I think, is the most accessible one to kind of dip your toe in.
Sure.
For new people, for a lot of reasons, not least of which an MDMA trip typically lasts about 4 hours.
Right. Oh, okay.
Whereas mushrooms, you're looking at 4 to 6 hours, closer to 6 usually. And LSD, you're looking at more like 7 to 9 plus hours.
Feels like your entire life.
So worth it.
Those are big time commitments that not everyone's really prepared for. And so MDMA, the role is really pleasant. People do find that like erections can be challenging on MDMA. Yeah. Orgasm can be challenging on MDMA. Like everything feels like an orgasm, but you can't come. Seems to be like a common MDMA experience.
Frustrating as fuck.
It can be very frustrating. But I think with the right set and setting, MDMA is a good kind of, if you're going to try sex and altered states, like that's a solid first one to start, as long as you have a really good source. Because Molly and ecstasy are not the same.
Two different things.
Nope.
Two different drugs.
So Molly is pure MDMA, and ecstasy is usually either MDA or MDMA mixed with
methamphetamine.
Who the fuck knows?
It could be
heroin, it could be meth, it could be fentanyl. You just never, just straight amphetamines. Like,
test your drugs, everybody.
Right. Test your drugs. Always test your drugs.
There's so many places you can get free test kits from.
Yeah.
And if actually, we find any, we can link them.
But. No, that's a great call. Exactly. You can get free ones, and then you can get really cheap ones off of Amazon.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten for like $5 for 5 test strips.
Expensive, and you can test your drugs. And I highly recommend that anyone who uses any kind of drugs tests them.
I think I could be wrong, but PartySafe.com might be one that you'd be able to get one for free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, PartySafe.com, I think.
And but they also, don't quote me on that.
They also sell the kits that you can use to revive a human, Narcan kits.
Narcan. Yes. Also, always have Narcan with you and know how to use it.
In my car. Got one in the back of my car.
Yep.
What about mushrooms? What kind of effects can people expect on mushrooms?
Mushrooms, I feel, are more embodied. So embodied / energetic. Like I feel very in my physical body. I feel like I want to move. I want to stretch. I want to be in nature. I feel very strongly that mushrooms and nature go together.
Yeah.
So like that's not a thing you necessarily want to do like in the middle of New York City. unless you happen to live next to Central Park. Like
you don't want to do it in a group of people that are not on it with you.
No,
that becomes
set and setting is like crucial for any altered state.
Hang out with your friends, make sure they're all high with you,
and also make sure that you're doing a dose that's appropriate for you. You don't need to take the largest dose, especially if you're only trying to have sex. If you're not trying to like rave all night long,
actually microdose mushrooms for sex.
Even before
I would do a full trip, because the first time I ever had sex on mushrooms was the first time I did mushrooms, and I did 3.5 grams.
That's a lot.
Because I did it with someone who said that they knew what they were doing, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna put myself in your hands. And he's like, we should each take an eighth and also wash it down with orange juice. And I'm like,
oh my god,
walls were talking to me.
Right.
Also, I fell in love with this man who turned out to be an abusive narcissist on mushrooms. Buyer beware, like really, really. And also like the bigger issue right now with mushrooms and psychedelics broadly is dosing. And so to go by dry weight, which is typically how mushrooms are dosed, like you weigh it out, you take that much, but not all mushrooms are the same. Penis envies and golden features hit you very differently. And so there's an organization called Oakland Hyphae that my friend Reggie Harris started, and he works with researchers and scientists and mycologists who are doing the lab testing to figure out the psilocybin percentage and other various compounds in the mushrooms so that you can dose yourself more accurately. Because just going by dry weight is really rolling the dice.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep, it's just growing in the ground, and you never really know what chemical process is happening while it's growing.
It's growing on shit.
In literally. Cow patties.
Yeah, literally on shit.
And I'll say, as someone who has had sex on all of these drugs.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
I was telling you guys earlier, and Asha got mad because she said I blew my wad. But, you know, the second time I had sex was on LSD. And it was amazing, but
second time ever?
yeah, second time ever having sex.
Oh my God. How many, was it your first time on LSD?
Probably not. I was, I started doing drugs and having sex really early. So I was like 13, 14, maybe something like that. But I was on the tail end of my LSD trip. So it was like 8 hours in. And so I wasn't out of my mind at that time, but it was an amazing experience. Fast forward to other times where I've been in my trip. Like, for example, I was driving home from a rave and I was high as fuck. I don't know. I think I was on LSD and a girl was trying to get me to hook up with her in the back seat. And I was fucking paralyzed. Anybody's gotten really high and out of their mind where they're too high. Mm-hmm. I could not move. I could not think. This girl I had wanted to hook up with for years, and she finally was making a move on me. And I was like, I could not do it. I'm like,
heartbreaking.
In my head, I was like, do something back. And I was like, I can't do anything right now. Can't
lift my arm.
Right. And it just, so, I mean, yeah, it's one of those things. Probably with hallucinogens, it's going to be on the lower spectrum of, and like she said, microdosing.
What do you think about LSD and sex, Ashley?
I love it. I actually like LSD, MDMA and sex. But I'm an advanced user. Like this is not me recommending that to you who are listening. Like, I'm just saying I have done that and enjoyed it thoroughly, but like, I did a lot of those things separately. And then
with
people I trust, like, there's a process. Like, I do not recommend going and doing drugs at a festival and then fucking the first person you trip over. Like, that's not the way. I mean, a whole, like, red flags, green flags of, like, who to decide, how to decide who to have altered state sex with. And, like, the first one is you need to know them more than 6 months. You need to have tripped with them without having sex. You need to have had sex with them without, you know, doing anything else. So you, like, lots of different things go into place to make a good decision about who you feel safe enough to do that with, because otherwise you're gonna have a really bad time.
Yeah, and at LSD, at mushrooms, these are all things that lower your inhibitions. MDMA, these are all things that help you feel better about yourself. There is a lot of research that talks about how people who use psilocybin actually feel more beautiful, more self-confident, more in touch with their body, more open, more in line with who they are as a human being. And so to really tap into such a vulnerable and beautiful part of yourself, I would think you would want to be with someone who knows you well enough to know how stunning you feel and like embrace that with you rather than someone you tripped over.
I was going to say sex is already like very, what's the word? Vulnerable. You're putting it's vulnerable for everybody involved. You're sharing a very intimate.
It's one of the hottest things about sex is how vulnerable it is.
And like also doing drugs puts you in a vulnerable state. Right. So putting those both together is like you're putting yourself in a very vulnerable position for lack of a better word. So it's important to be around people that you feel safe around.
I love your green flags and your red flags. Yes. I think those are fantastic. What about ketamine or any sort of ketamine to me kind of freaks me out a little bit when we talk about sex and an altered state, because if the listener doesn't know, ketamine is actually known as the date rape drug, and they are using a derivative of it right now and turned it into something called esketamine and are using it for treatment resistant depression. And it's actually a miracle for a lot of people. It brings them out of this lifelong depression that they've experienced. Individuals who use ketamine, like straight ketamine, sometimes say that they go into K-holes.
Yeah.
And that these K-holes open them up to an altered reality or another plane of existence, another plane of their bodies. And they actually can experience themselves in like different layers and different levels of the universe. However, ketamine is a tranquilizer. So I don't necessarily...
Isn't it a horse tranquilizer?
Correct.
Well, originally it was actually a human anesthetic. They use it for surgeries. They also use it for horses.
Okay.
But... Okay. At lower doses, it is the reason I know is because I've done ketamine treatments for depression. I have treatment resistant depression. So I went to a psychiatrist and they did
work for you.
it is incredibly effective for a short period of time.
You have to keep getting it.
I would say the most potent effects wear off in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then it sort of tapers down over a couple of months. And so you really want to get the treatments like kind of quarterly. I have sublinguals that I have as like booster shots, but really if I want to like re-up the effects for real, I have to go to the psychiatrist's office in Hawaii, which is where I went to get it. Highly recommend. It was amazing.
Wow. Which island?
The Oahu. It was on Oahu in Honolulu. Wow. Dr. Cook, he's great. It was a fantastic experience. They did a great job. I had a very comfortable like place. They had a recliner. There was an EMT on site to make sure I didn't die. Like that for me, for my money, as a sex educator, as a sex and altered state specialist, that is the only situation under which I would do ketamine.
Okay.
I would not do ketamine recreationally. I know people do it all the time. I know they do it in fuck. For my money, nah. Not for me. I love what ketamine does to me, but it does not put me in any kind of sexual anything. I don't have a body anymore. It's dissociative.
I wonder if that's because you are, your brain needs ketamine because of treatment resistant depression, whereas someone who doesn't have a deficit in serotonin or dopamine, they don't need the ketamine. So it actually puts them into a different state than an individual who has treatment resistant depression. And maybe that
could be.
How about anything like ayahuasca or peyote? What do you think about those and sex?
Ayahuasca, you are too busy puking to have sex. So there's like very little chance. Like I've done 3 ayahuasca ceremonies. There was not even the slightest chance of having sex while that was happening. That's just, and peyote, like similarly, you purge a lot. Like that's part of, it's part of the ceremony. Like that is ayahuasca, especially like that is sentient plant medicine. You do not fuck with ayahuasca or it will fuck back. Like you just like danger Will Robinson. I feel like, you know, like jumping. I had an orgasm while on ayahuasca, but without touching myself and without anyone else. Like literally I was lying there having conversation with like divine source consciousness. And I was like, what would it be like if I had an orgasm right now? And the universe was like, here you go. And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Whoa. Oh my God. The universe booped your clitoris.
It literally booped my clitoris. So that was awesome. But no, you don't fuck on ayahuasca. Like now DMT, which is the sort of active ingredient in ayahuasca, if you take that on its own, is only about a 15-minute ride. And while I cannot personally have sex while I'm on a DMT ride, my Canadian lover, there is nothing he loves more than getting his ass fucked while he's on DMT. Cannot get enough screaming, moaning, having like the most profound transformative sexual experiences of his life as I am railing his prostate and he like just keeps puffing on this goddamn vape pen. And I'm like, holy shit, dude.
Hey man, when you find something that works, just go with it.
But he's the only person I've ever met who has said that they've been able to have sex on DMT. Most people, like, they just kind of fall back and close their eyes and go talk to aliens for 15 minutes.
It sounds a lot like psychedelics or more so than marijuana, more like heightened states of altered consciousness types drugs. This is going to be very subjective. And I think that's a big reason why we have such anecdotal evidence of what it's psychedelics do. It's so
to get a quantifiable result.
Yeah,
and everybody's having such different feelings.
It's just like somebody when you take an edible, one of your friends is like, "Yeah, come over and have an edible with me," and they hand you an entire fucking chocolate chip cookie. It's like those
edibles I gave you too. Right? It made me feel fine, but it made you have a panic attack.
Right. Because it's fair. Some people have a very high tolerance, and they're like, "Here, take this whole fucking brownie," and you eat it, and you die. But your other friend's like, "Dude, I'm barely even stoned."
I have a very low tolerance for marijuana and I can smoke the exact same amount and eat this. I do these kava chocolate covered espresso beans.
They're great. 5 milligrams each.
5 milligrams of these little bad boys. You pop one and you're like Yep. Pop two and you're like, fuck.
Yeah. One is a good head change, body high. And the two is like, okay, I'm feeling really good. And three, if you want to take a ride.
I've never taken three. And I've never.
And I think other people would be like, dude, that would not even faze me.
I wouldn't even do anything for a lot of people. Like, I know somebody who's like, no, I need at least 80 milligrams of THC before I'm going to get anywhere.
I had a question coming back to, the psychedelics and sex. How does being on some type of psychedelic substance change consent?
I said being on any substance.
On any substance. So the strictest, most puritanical kind of consent belief system would say you cannot have sex when you are intoxicated because you can't give consent.
And what would you say if somebody, you both went into it and you're like, all right, we're going to consent to this now. Now we're going to drop.
Well, so that's what I tell people is negotiate before you medicate, have conversations like leading up to day of, before you take it, have your dose set out, be checking in consistently throughout the experience, have aftercare planned. But even with all of those things, somebody could wake up the next morning and be like, I didn't like that happened.
And I didn't even remember it.
So you got to really be careful and really be intentional about your mixing.
Which is another reason to go back to what you said, to make sure that you are doing this with someone who you have known for a long time, who you've had sex with without substances, who you've used substances with without sex, someone who understands your limits and your boundaries, who's not going to push the envelope on something if you say yes to something that you've never said yes to before and
question it.
All of a sudden it's like, yes, I will. I want you to stick your fist in my ass. And it's like, wait a minute, maybe I should take a second here and check in with you rather than, hi-ho, let's go.
That was a great
thank you
example. Fist.
That's probably the best example.
Yeah.
And also probably why you should start with a smaller dose.
Yes. Yeah.
So that you know where your own personal mental
discover your new boundaries
gate, where your little picket fence is in your mind of like, I can go here and turn around and know that I'm at home, or I can go here and I turn around and I'm on Saturn and we can't have no mas. Yeah. We're done. So I think it speaks to your green and red flags to say someone you know, someone you've had sex with, someone you've tripped with, and also setting those consents and those boundaries ahead of time.
Someone who has a proven track record of respecting the fuck out of your boundaries.
Yeah. And taking your pleasure into account, not just I am in the tent next door and I want to bang. I'm going to get back to my stat of the day so that everyone gets to have their answer, because I know you've all been dying to hear. So a University of British Columbia studied individuals who used cannabis on a regular basis before having sex. 60% said that cannabis increased their desire for sex. 74% reported increased sexual satisfaction. 74% reported increased sensitivity to touch and horns. 65% reported an increase of intensity in orgasm.
I win.
Nailed it.
65%.
Oh no, you win.
Wait, I thought you.
That's closest without. Oh wait,
you went into.
I went up. You said 75.
Oh yeah, that's right.
None of you win because
I went over.
Closest.
Oh, Price is Right.
Damn it.
So goddamn.
Y'all lost.
We all lost.
I got really excited there. I'm sorry.
I think that you all are just very optimistic about how intense people's orgasms are. And honestly, it was just one study, and it was a very small study.
But that's still pretty good. I mean,
I agree. Anything over
three out of four that'll probably have that happen.
Have an intense, more intense orgasm. If 15% of women, aren't having orgasms on a regular, aren't having orgasms. And if you introduce weed and you get to increase the amount of orgasms that women are having, fuck, dude, close that orgasm gap as quickly as possible. If cannabis can make that happen, let's fucking go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Damn.
Love weed.
Ashley, what do you want to promote? What do you want to talk about and promote before we get out of here?
Let's see. I have a series of online courses that you can find at elevatedintimacy.com. I have what's called this my Skillful Lover Bundle, which is like some of my best and most popular classes all in one. It's like $100. So it's a great investment. And you can work with me. I love working with clients, either individuals or couples. And I see them via Zoom. So you can be anywhere in the world if you want to work with me. And really, coaching is my greatest passion right now.
I love that. And then you have some sexy places that we can see you.
Yes. Oh yeah. I have OnlyFans and Sex Panther. So if you've been thirsting on my Instagram and you want to see me naked, head on over to OnlyFans.
Record scratch. See you naked? Is that what you're doing on OnlyFans? Is you're getting naked?
Oh, I'm getting naked and I'm fucking. You can see me fuck my boyfriend, one of my lovers on OnlyFans also.
Just one lover?
Maybe all of them?
So far, just one of them. But okay. I have another who's very seriously considering making the OnlyFans plunge. And then another friend is a porn star and is on OnlyFans. And we just saw each other this past weekend. And he's like, next time we're in the same place, we should definitely shoot content. And I'm like, yeah, we fucking should. So
So if you want to learn how to fuck, go to Canisexual. Mm-hmm. And if you want to watch Ashley.
Watch me fuck. Go to OnlyFans. And actually, my Canadian lover and I were just talking the other day about like, what would it be like if we were to create instructional sex videos of like actual live demo.
Yeah.
I'm showing on him how to give a hand job. He's showing on me like pussy massage and squirting techniques. I'm showing anal techniques on him. Cause he was my demo model in Jamaica and people loved my hand job class. They loved my butt stuff class that I taught with Luna Matatas. And
did he come when you gave him a hand job?
So I told him not to at first. I was like, I need to make it through this whole hour. So like, don't come. And then at the very end, there were 80 people in this workshop and literally they started chanting, make him come, make him come. And I was like, okay. So I did, you know, a couple of my tricks and he had a very earth shattering climax.
I'm impressed because I would find it hard if you had that many people watching you. I would be like, all right, pressure.
I know, right?
But if you are an expert, I'm sure, you know, you worked your magic.
That's awesome. I did work my magic. We were pretty much celebrities the rest of the week. That happened on Monday. We were there until Saturday. And like, we couldn't walk 5 steps without people being like, oh my God, that was wild.
That was incredible. I am just so thankful that you came on to talk with us about sex and sex education and marijuana and psychedelics. And what a wonderfully blended conversation that we had. You are beautiful and wonderful. And I just appreciate your time so, so very much. Please make sure you check out canisexual.com. It is an amazingly built and beautiful website. There's so much information there. Make sure you check us out at What's Your Position Podcast on Instagram, What's Your Position Podcast at gmail.com. You can call us, leave us a message, 513-6969-SEX. Yes, that's the fucking number. You know who called me the other day?
Who?
The foot and ankle care of Scranton.
Oh, the Scranton Strangler?
They were wondering if Donald was going to come to his appointment. Donald, if you
Donald,
I hope you didn't miss your appointment.
Are you talking about the fucking tangerine?
I don't know. I'm just sad that no one calls my phone. 513-6969-SEX.
Leave us a message.
Please, come on.
Just do it. Thank you so much, Ashley, for coming on.
Thank you.
It was so sexy and awesome. We appreciate you. Remember, everybody, stay safe, stay kind, and stay sexy.
See, all the wisest women had to do it this way. Because we were born to be the pawn in every lover's game. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Strategy sets the scene for the...
What's Your Position podcast represents the opinions of Ashley Weller and her guests. The content here should not be taken as medical advice and is intended for education and entertainment purposes only. Views and opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure the information we are sharing is accurate, we welcome any comments, suggestions, or correction of error. Stay safe, stay kind, and stay sexy.
Darling, you know
know that we are sold out. This is fading, but the band plays on now. We're crying, crying. So let the velvet roll down, down.